sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver, leave.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and look what the raccoons dragged in. Evening, Lance. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Mm-hmm. Nice little break for you. Nice little winter break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you're back at it. Your hands are dirty.
My hands are already dirty, and now I know why I don't live in California.
What was it?
Well, it's awful crowded.
Awful crowded. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Aren't we fortunate here?
Yes.
And so it felt good to get home.
Yeah.
Good to get home and get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with the hands? What have you been?
Oh, I was just... What was I doing? I was pruning for a couple hours and I was on a ladder with an extended pole saw.
Okay.
So I was taking high branches out of some junipers and some elm trees. And then the other thing that I was doing later on was digging out. Well, I was trying to find sprinklers. We're going to redo the circle driveway. And I was finding the sprinklers so I could move them. And I was also one of the lilacs that was there. I dug it up. I then transplanted. I dug it up. It's going to the
mover out.
Yeah. It's no good.
Right back at it.
Yeah.
Well, good to see because we got a busy spring and summer coming up.
Yes, and I'm going to pay a price tomorrow morning. But that's the way it is for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. And then you start feeling.
Yeah.
Getting your groove back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 527-4868-866. KVNF now, ready to take your call, see what's going on, ask Lance a question, and also worm@kvnf.org. Okay, Marilyn has an email question.
Mm-hmm.
She is wondering, she's got some thyme plant to transplant, wondering if she can do it now. Any tips on soil amendment, proper size of root ball? It's about 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. You can do it now. Be better to do it later because it's just going to sit there. And if you water it too much or if you had a lot of rain, it could rot.
Okay.
Better to wait till April if you can do that. And as far as the root ball, that it's hard to say because I can't see the plant.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not too big, you know, about the...
What's optimal there?
If you could... The size, you know, digging down around with the shovel.
Yeah.
That's if you can handle that amount of dirt, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So about how many inches? Or
it'd be eight inches across the diameter. You know, fruit trees or any small tree is for every inch of size of trunk, it's 12 inches of root ball.
Okay. So thyme, is that an old plant, 6, 7 years old? Is that?
But they can live pretty long.
They can.
And the thing is it creeping thyme or is it actually a thyme bush? There's actually a more of a shrub, smaller than lavender, and they're from the England and the middle, Mediterranean.
Oh, sure.
So it's pretty hardy. So actually these kind of things don't want that much fertilizer. They do better without it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you can wait a little bit to transplant, that would be good. And sounds like the root ball is probably,
you know, if you can handle a bigger one, good. Mm-hmm. You know, those aren't that big of a plant that the root ball, the size of the root ball isn't going to be that heavy. That's
okay.
The main thing.
There you go. You'll be able to handle it.
Yeah.
Okay, super. And one more question from Marilyn. She wants to plant peas, and she's going to plant peas for the first time. I like it when people try something new.
Yeah.
Is now a good time? She wasn't going to have irrigation water until mid-April or the 1st of May. And is it okay to use domestic water, it being chlorinated? Is it going to need a lot of water? Tell us about peas.
This time of year, first of all, you're not going to take much water to keep the ground moist.
Okay.
So.
Too early to plant?
But it's definitely too early.
Okay.
And I would wait till the end of March. Now, there's some people that have warmer spots or different opinions on this. Where I'm at, I wait till early, the first week in April, and I don't put a trellis up because I more than likely am going to have to cover them for a frost, a hard frost, that
is.
You know, so.
Let them lie low for the blankets.
Yeah. And if you're going to plant early, and I've said this in the past, the smooth seeded peas are more cold hardy than the wrinkled.
Okay.
Okay, so
look for the smooth variety.
Yeah, you can see it. The smoother the seed, the more cold hardy. The more wrinkled the seed, the less cold hardy.
Okay, yeah. That's a great tip to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's looking at seeds right now.
Yeah, lots of seeds out there.
Dreaming about seeds, right? Okay, good questions, Marilyn. And she emailed at worm@kvnf.org. 5274-8681-866 KVNF now. Those are the numbers to call right now.
Yeah, right now.
Right now. While we're here. And let's talk about planting. Too early to plant peas, but you've been doing some planting
since you got home. I've done some stuff. There's still all that lettuce, spinach, cilantro, parsnips, parsley. Let's see, what else is on my list?
That's good.
Yeah, that's a start. And I did plant some mazuma just for the fun of it. That's a type of mustard.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah, it's a mild-tasting mustard.
And these are all going to come up about what time? Spring-ish being?
Being that it's as cold as it is, it's going to take 3 weeks. But I did plant lettuce last fall, and I noticed when I was planting some more lettuce that it was that stuff I planted last fall is actually coming up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And are these the type of seeds and or plants that like that cold stratify?
Yes.
Okay, they are. So
yeah.
Same kind of thing you would do with the seeds. You could put those in the refrigerator or freezer.
You want them in the freezer.
In the freezer.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why it's easy to plant these early.
Mm-hmm.
What about early planting flowers?
Oh, there's plenty, and I'm just going to name a few.
Okay.
The poppies, the annual poppies, even poppies for poppy seeds.
Mm.
They come up now. And calendulas, bachelor's button, larkspur. What else? There's plenty.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've noticed California poppies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually seen them naturalize in places. It seems funny that.
Sure.
But and if it's not too cold of a winter, which this winter is, I've actually seen plants winter over.
Okay.
Of California.
California poppies.
But don't try them late. Plant them now.
Plant poppies now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they'll come up better.
Is there something particular you're looking for in the seed catalog when you're looking for an early flowering plant or a plant?
Lots of times they'll say the cold hardiness.
Oh, cold hardy, sure.
That's what it is. And they'll also say full sun, partial sun, or shade.
Okay. And little of all of it. All right. Well, that sounds fun. Lots of good stuff to plant.
Yeah.
Maybe people have some good ideas out there. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Yourself, you've planted some grains, some spring grains?
It's timed. If you have space ready, it's actually a little early, but if you want to try it, the small grains, the spring grains.
Okay, so, what's an example of that?
Most barleys are spring grains.
Okay.
So I planted Tibetan barley last year, so I'm not growing it this year.
You like to switch it up?
I move it around. Mm-hmm. And that way I'm always restocking every several years.
Mm-hmm.
So this year
is what?
I planted, I mentioned planting emmer last fall. Well, it pretty much winter killed, so I went and cultivated in more emmer. And that got watered in, and then I planted Sonoran white wheat, which is a, it's a pastry wheat. It's a white flour. Not very much gluten in that,
mm-hmm.
that one.
And that is, has some history to it, the seed of that.
The Spaniards and the Catholic mission, the Padres brought that over in the 1700s, I would say somewhere around there, because it was Junipero Serra, and he built the chain of missions in California. I think there's 12.
Okay.
But that was in like 1776. So it had to have been, he was the one that brought it, came with him.
And had then, to have been earlier than that. Then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it can be quite prolific. And again, it's a soft wheat. It's more like a pastry wheat or unleavened breads, things
okay.
like that.
Yeah. So Sonoran white wheat.
Yeah.
All right. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. And Emily in Montrose is on the line with a question. Good evening.
Hey.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. So I have a question about just the best preparation methods for planting raspberries, actually. We tried and kind of failed miserably. A bug or something got in, and they would be just start to kind of grow nice green leaves, and then something was just chomping down on them. So out of like, you know, 20, two or three survived.
Uh-huh. Is your garden fenced?
No.
Okay.
But,
deer and rabbits love raspberries.
Yeah, these are definitely not deer.
Okay.
Doing, and we don't have any rabbits.
Okay. But
how old was this, like the first year that they?
It was the very first year. Yeah, and they were all potted, so I didn't know if like bare root versus potted plants are better or
no.
Like,
and I don't know if they actually come. Do they come bare root in a nursery? If you order them, they do. But I've just dug up raspberries and planted them, transplanted them that mm-hmm. way. So,
yeah.
I would rototill some compost in. You don't want heavy manure because that real well maybe the first year to get them growing, you want some nitrogen. But it's
okay.
just organic matter, and stuff,
yeah,
and stuff. And I don't know if you have the holes dug. You might take a spading fork or even mm-hmm. just a shovel and loosen up the soil at the bottom of the hole, another mm-hmm. 6 to 8 inches, if you can do that.
Okay. That's
and then,
kind of what
yeah.
we were thinking.
And right. you could put your compost and manure in the bottom of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And don't let them dry out.
Okay. Period. And could it be, I mean, I think the pests might have come. We put, like wood chips over the top, just as that was a little more like the part of the ground cover.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, and maybe a bug mm. that was within those wood chips.
It could have been a bug, but by mulching, first of all, I'm not a fan of wood chips in the garden, period.
Mm. Mm.
Get rid of them.
Okay. Not a fan. I mean,
no, period.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, they're a nitrogen problem.
Well, and I guess. These raspberries are in the front of our property, and so it's not actually in our garden area.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, and they actually line the top of a ditch area,
mm-hmm.
near one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still think,
alternative to
wood
chips would be
wood chips on them at all?
Hay, grass cuttings, mm-hmm. leaves, something else. But
mulchier.
Wood, yeah, mm-hmm. and the wood chips just take an extreme amount of what it is. The bacteria need a lot of nitrogen to break the wood chips down. That's
right.
what's happening.
Right, right.
And so it just takes so much. I mean,
yeah,
if you have a 5 or 6 year plan, then it's okay. But
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck, Emily.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Appreciate that call. I mean, we all love
raspberries,
huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they can thrive in this neck of the woods. So
mm-hmm. you got to find the right varieties
mm-hmm.
and go for it. And the key thing is to not let them dry out.
Right, right.
You know, even though they might look like they're really growing and they start to bloom, and you forget to water, they're not going to set
mm-hmm.
any fruit to speak of.
Yeah, and I think depending on where you are, and in Montrose, just that clay soil, I mean, fine balance between
mm-hmm.
allowing them to breathe down there
yeah.
and keeping them moist
yeah.
where they're not getting choked.
I mean, if you're going to start, another thing you could have done, you can do there is also if you have the broad fork.
Okay.
And
stick the broad fork down in there and
yeah.
just work that loose a little
bit.
The
whole bed
mm-hmm.
with that.
Yeah. We were talking about broad fork amber
mm-hmm.
our fellow worm, was in here last week talking about. She's been broadfarking her garden. And one thing she mentioned is that she's not seen any garlic come up. But what's your story on garlic? Because you...
Well, there's one bed where it's pretty much come up.
Uh-huh.
And I think what reason is I didn't quite plant it as deep as the other ones.
Oh, okay.
And it also watered earlier. I actually watered it last fall, where the garlic that I didn't water till this winter, it is not only here and there is it broken up. Broken the ground. It's, you know, it's. I've dug down and checked the clothes here and there, and they're just sprouting.
Right. So maybe the depth that it was planted, and you just planted some spring garlic.
Spring garlic. Most people don't do that. They just do the fall garlic, and this is a spring garlic.
It's called, what's that about?
It's this variety is called Silver Rose, and if you want to plant the spring garlic, they're in the family of Silver Skins.
Okay.
That's the garlic family. Silver Skins generally can be planted in the spring.
They're going to come up when?
In the next 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll come up
little
the next
shallot-y
two.
Looking things or
Just garlic greens. They grow really fast. You harvest them right after the other garlic in July. And they'll store clear into June.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're a little bit later. So that's why I grow them. I don't grow that many of them. Of course, I put 300 cloves in. So
not much, but
it does store really well. And that's the garlic
that
I also use for the garlic sprays for the fruit trees and stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. You know, so
because I have it.
Right. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, 300 cloves. You might use that up depending on what the bug year is like.
Well, it might be a good one this year.
It might be. We're still praying for snow. 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. Okay. I wanted to ask you about compost because we're always talking compost. And you had an extra pile or something going this year. Is that right?
Did I have an extra pile?
Or you started early?
I started an extra pile.
Pretty sure.
I always have piles going. I made two piles prior to my little road trip, so those are working away. Mm-hmm. And then I made one Saturday, and I'll make one more the next weekend. That's
Wow. Yeah, you're.
It's a lot of shoveling and moving and watering. It's like, I could do two piles in one day or one weekend, but,
you got time to spread it out.
Spread it, and this way they come ready as I need them.
Right, right. You have good timing.
Yeah, and I also have a huge pile of finished compost from last year.
Okay. Finished compost. Yeah, you are ready to go right back into it because I think it's in 2 weeks the time already changes.
Oh, it's Sunday.
Oh, heavens to Betsy.
I went and looked. I said, when is that day?
So exciting.
Yeah. So the days are, you'll have more daylight in the afternoon, evening.
Right. More time to work out in your garden, clean up whatever's happened. Okay. We have Generation X on the line who wants to talk about hops.
Hops.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Howdy.
Well, this is it. We've got to talk about hops.
Okay.
Super beneficial plant that is doing all of us a lot of good.
All right.
It's topical. It is ingestive. It is giving us some of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful represents of benefit that we can get through all sorts of stuff. We need to talk about hops. Hops is its a legal CBD. It produces its own situation.
Its own situation.
Well, it's a great shade plant on a trellis, too.
Back to the ground. It's a really, really beautiful plant. And there's a company here in town that's starting to make salves out of hops.
Oh, wow.
And it's a topical.
Our company.
It's a topical company called Hoppiness Salves. And they're making a thing going on. But the thing is you guys rock. And I love that you guys tell about the benefits of these in particular plants that we have in our small gardens that are beneficial to all of us. And small people can use these small amounts even just in their own thing, just as a potpourri or a, you know. A
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's so much that goes goes with it. It's a beautiful plant.
Hey, maybe you could speak to having some hops in an individual garden. I know some people who've planted hops maybe along a fence line mm-hmm. because they grow fast and maybe want to get a border or something from a neighbor. But
I just wanted you guys to bring up the benefits of that. There's so awesome. Many benefits.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll talk to Ron Godin. They were doing – he was quite involved with bringing
I'll
hops.
Let you go. You guys
okay,
have a
right on. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the call. And yeah, hops are happening.
And one of the things – I mean, all those things, medicinal, and it makes a great tea for calming tea.
Okay.
You know, and, of course, people are using it for beer. And that's what Ron was – Godin was more involved in was the hops to grow for the – microbrewery
sure.
industry, mm-hmm. but they are, if you have a real sunny, south-facing part of your house, it will cover it. If you put a trellis up, it will cover it really fast.
And sun, it loves the sun.
And mm-hmm. what's nice is you cut it down in the winter because it all dies, and you get that sun to heat your house
right
during
back.
The wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great plant for that.
Right.
You know.
And you can use all of that cut down into your garden. In
compost.
Just compost
yep.
it right in.
Yep.
Mulch it right in. All right. Yeah, hops. Like
yeah.
that. Some good questions tonight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Huh? Okay, 527-486-81866, KVNF now. All right, we're going to probably start talking about seed saving next week.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to ask you a little bit, Lance, because you grow most, if not all of your fruit
mm-hmm.
from your own seeds.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I could just ask you a little bit about that. When did you start your garden up there on the mesa?
Let's see. Well, I started by counting when the well got drilled, because that's what I'm using for irrigation. So 1987. And it was just cheatgrass, not very many rocks, luckily. And I think there was one juniper tree in there and one rabbit brush in this area. And I left that juniper and that river rush for quite a while until I realized I could use that space for something else.
Uh-huh.
And, but... yeah, and just started one spot. And then the next year I started another spot. And I sort of had a three-year rotation. And, oh, I could do this and put in a line of fruit trees. And
mm-hmm. So you weren't seed saving at that time?
No.
Mm-hmm,
no.
Right before 1990?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened. Seed
yeah.
saving.
How did that happen?
First of all, I've always grown dry beans and field corn. I don't really grow sweet corn to speak of.
Okay.
It's not, I like sweet corn. It's just that field corn gives me years of food. Sweet corn gives me 5 minutes.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's as simple
Very
as that.
Very practical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I was always saving seed from them. And then I had planted a cover crop of rye. It got way ahead of me, and I seen the seed heads going, the grain heads going. So I said, hey, let's let this go and see what happens. So that was the start of grain growing and saving that seed,
mm-hmm.
the small grains anyways. And I'm sure that I noticed some lettuce going to seed someplace.
Right, right. Just naturally started to.
And, oh, let's try this. And it's actually not very, not to speak of reading books or going to classes. This is all hands-on experiential.
Right.
And you start to learn things like lettuce, to grow lettuce for seed, it has to be on the dry side. Not
mm-hmm.
We think of it as succulent growth. But once mm-hmm. you're growing it for seed, if you overhead water, that stalk that looks so firm,
uh-huh.
it gets so waterlogged that it falls over and breaks off.
Okay, and there goes your
yeah. So
seed
you have
crop.
To water mm-hmm. it maybe once every 2 weeks on the ground.
Yeah, it kind of becomes a different plant
yes.
when you're growing for seed
yeah.
versus
and you
food.
Know. And then another one is spinach. Is you need both male and female. Their plants are male and female, and you don't
mm-hmm.
know until they start to bloom.
Right, right.
So you have to leave the entire patch.
Yeah, so if you've always just been growing that for food or taking it right out of the garden for your
mm-hmm.
salad, you've never really seen that whole
yeah.
dance that happens.
And then the other thing that happens is when you start growing seed crops, especially greens, like I just mentioned, you don't harvest any greens.
Yeah.
It's a seed crop. It's
right.
not for...
Hard to do
yeah.
sometimes.
So you have to discipline yourself.
Right.
You know.
Right, not fall in love with it, not mm-hmm. want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And plus you have to have a little bit of room.
A
and we'll be talking about that when
yeah.
we talk about seed saving yield
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
volume and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just one step at a time. And as I go along, it's like, oh, look at this. And, of course, parsley can self-propagate itself.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
right.
Once you get that going, you never have to plant it again.
Right. So you just kind of watched all of this happen and then thought, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So how 527-486-8166 KVNF now. How did you start to plant all these different varieties then? Because now you have not only seed saving going on, mm-hmm. but a nice eclectic supply of seeds, really.
Well, let's take the onions.
Okay.
Even though they're biennial, that's a biennial. But the reason I have six varieties, seven varieties, mm-hmm. is it's storage time.
Okay.
And
meaning that how long
they
store.
So I plant New York early and Southport Red Globe. They store until I still have some, but they started going bad last month.
Okay.
Every once in a while you'd cut them when it was rotten.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not bad. Good not storage bad. Time.
And
yeah.
then now I'm going to start eating the Red Man, which is developed in Colorado and Greeley for red storage onion. I still have that. And I have a yellow Spanish. Okay. And again, they store a little bit longer.
Okay.
And then I have what's called Newburgh. It's even another month longer.
Okay.
And then I have the potato onions, which looks like a shallot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be eating those all the way into July.
Wow. So you rotate and or you figure out how to plant so that you're storing at the right time?
They all get planted from seed at the same time.
Okay.
And I definitely have a, because I don't write anything down, I know how to memorize, because I have mm-hmm. the Southport Red Globe always gets planted next to the New York Earlies. And the Red Man always gets planted next mm-hmm. to the
Just
yellow.
Has its own little symphony there.
And the Newburgh, it's mm-hmm. off to one side.
Okay.
And then I tried a new one, and I'm sorry to say I can't pronounce that, but I tried a new one, a French one from the Paris Market Gardens from 100, 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be a long-term store, so we'll see.
Okay, so you've added a new one to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with your carrots. Is that a storage thing, or could you have some fabulous varieties of carrots?
Let's see. The Rumbas is an early carrot. You can't let it get too big, other it splits down the side.
Oh, okay, right.
And so it's my early carrot, and that was Scarlet Nantes. And then I plant the red core Chantenays, the Danvers, French Theocene half-longs, which is related to the Danvers. And then what else do I got? I got an Italian giant red. Just coloring, flavor.
Mm-hmm. Coloring and flavor.
And then I have another one, the Scarlet Keeper, which is a really good store, but not the best flavor. But it will store, again, it will store till June,
mm-hmm.
you know, if
right.
you have cold storage.
Right.
You know, so you have all these varieties, and, you know, they do get huge.
Mm-hmm.
They can get huge, and don't get afraid of, you know, if you have good soil and you don't ever let them dry out, they do not get woody.
Okay, carrots.
Yeah.
You can do carrots. You can do it.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have really heavy soils, clay soils, you might want to do those smaller ones, or the mm-hmm. oxhearts, the Chantenays will grow in that also.
Mm-hmm.
And they always taste better after a frost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The secret to your carrots. One of the secrets to your carrots.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn about seed saving on carrots and all kinds of other mm-hmm. good stuff starting next week for at least a couple shows. And we wanted to remind folks of the seed saving workshop coming up at Memorial Hall in Hotchkiss on the 30th and the 31st.
Yeah.
What's going on there? You're going to be talking there, right?
Yeah, there's going to be panel discussion
mm-hmm.
on Friday evening with a potluck. And I think I'm going to be on the panel. Laura Parker from the seed company she started down in Montrose is going to be there. And then a couple people from the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance will be in that. And then, and that's Friday evening, and then Saturday is all day just a hands-on experience.
Okay. Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking more about that
next
week for sure and get you more information on that, or you can log on to kvnf.org to get more information. And that'll do it for us. We'll be back next Tuesday to start that. Glad to have you back, Lance.
Yeah. I'm here till November now.
I know.
I'm not going
anywhere. Dirty hands, here we come.
Yeah.
Okay, it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Have a good evening.
Vest pocket master, which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, though little